Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Oh, I just want to exhort you a little bit because I got a sense of what he wants to do. And I just want to just exhort you a little bit. Amen. Just a little bit. It seems like hallelujah. I want you to be encouraged because he always does something with the remnant. It's the remnant. Amen. He's the remnant. And that remnant, boy, the multitudes come. It's the remnant. The multitudes just come. Jesus, we glorify you. We thank you for these faithful hearts, pure hearts, clean hands. We thank you for these vessels that are overflowing. Thank you for the things that you're doing and the direction that you're pointing in, Father. We thank you for the open heaven that over this place. We thank you for the beacon of light. We thank you for destiny. We thank you, Lord. There's none can satisfy, only you. And this life is flowing like a river. We thank you out of this place, directly from your throne, Lord. For your throne, Lord. And we bless your holy name. We thank you for that working in us right now. That witness that's working in us. Thank you for that. Lord, there's so many things we can thank you for. But most of all, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when we lift our hands, there you are. We thank you that when we bow the knee, there you are. We thank you that when we open our lips to praise you, there you are. We thank you, Lord, that when we sing, you're there. We thank you, Lord, when we speak, you're there, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you follow us around anywhere. We just thank you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your peace. We thank you for your sweet, sweet presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, just wrap your arm around us right now, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your presence. Oh, my Lord, just thank you for your presence. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. Oh, mighty, mighty, mighty one of Israel. Thank you, mighty one of Israel. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Nothing satisfy. Just you, Lord. Only you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your presence. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Glorify you. Glorify you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence, Lord. Thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, thank you for your presence, Lord. Woo. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Just you alone. Yes, Lord, Jesus. Thank you for an open heaven, Lord. Open heaven, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you for an open heaven, Lord. Glory, Jesus. Open heaven. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let the cups overflow. Let it be an overflow. An overflow. Let it overflow, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Only you. Only you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Yes, a moment in your presence, Lord. It's all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy hands lifted high, Lord Jesus. Holy hands lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 Jesus. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Jesus. Only you satisfy. Jesus. Only you, only you, only you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ooh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ooh. Yes, Lord. Ooh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Mighty breath of God. Yes, 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 yes. How things change when you come into the room. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ooh, mighty breath of God. Yes, Lord. How things change when you come into the room. Yes, Lord. Ooh, mighty breath of God. How things change when you come into the room. Oh, mighty breath of God. How things change when you come into the room. Oh, mighty breath of God, how things change when you come into the room. Oh, mighty breath of God, how things change when you come into the room. Oh, mighty breath of God. Things change when I make more room for you. Oh, mighty breath of God. How things change when I make more room for you. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How things change when I make more room for you. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. How things change when I make more room for you. Oh, mighty breath of God. How things change when I make more room for you. Oh, mighty breath of God, how things change when I make more room for you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we glorify you. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. Mighty breath of God, how things change when I make more for you, Jesus. Jesus, as a testimony being worked in you right now. A real testimony. A testimony that's been worked in you cannot be found on tapes or DVDs or CDs. On a message of somebody. But you have your own. It's been worked in you by the Holy Spirit. It's been worked in you in such a way that it's like the many-faceted wisdom of God. It's like a diamond ring that has so many sides and shapes in it. And you stand here and you see the brightness of it. And you say, wow, what? And somebody else is over there and saying the same, wow, and what? And another is saying the same, wow, and what brilliance. It's like the living creatures standing before his throne and going, holy. And going, holy. You're being worked. Something is being worked on the inside of you. That's what you're saying. You're saying that. You're saying that, and it's a testimony. It gives you a voice. It gives you the power to leave to go. To leave to go. If you don't leave, you won't go. But it gives you a testimony to leave to go. Some want to leave where they are to go, but they can't. They never did, and they never will. Until you leave to go, you can't go. So you're receiving a testimony. That testimony, or that inner working, is to cause you, equip you to leave to go. And that's what he's doing. He is working in you.
Yes.
It's strong. It's strong. But you have to leave to go. And if you want to know what he's going to do, let's look at the Jew first. Because he said to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So whatever he's done to the Jew, you have a right to have it done to you. He came, he went there, and it was by the blood. He brought them out of Egypt. It was by the blood of the Lamb. It was by the blood that he brought them out of Egypt. And he was taking them in. He brought them out to take them in. They should have, it's like, leave to go. And here, we were out there in the world lost. It was by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, that he brought us out to take us in. But there has been a tragedy. Tragedy is between the coming out and going in. Over 2 million left, but two enter in. There's a testimony being worked in you. There was a testimony being worked in them, but two entered in. They never left to go. And you're called to leave in the going. There's a testimony being worked in you that's equipping you to go. You have to go. You call it revival, whatever name you want to call it. It's to go. There is a destiny. It's truth. You call to go. And there's been much tragedy right in that place of leaving out of into. But this testimony that's working in you is so powerful. It's so powerful because now you don't have to see with your outside eyes or whatever you want to call it, but you can see with your inner eyes what he is doing. That has equipped you to go. But you must leave. You must leave. The words that I'm speaking tonight, they're just spiritual. That's all. But you must leave to go. And that's where the hunger is for you now. That's what you want more of him. You want, and you're drinking of this spiritual rock. You're drinking of this spirit. You're drinking. That's Christ. But that hunger won't satisfy until you go. The tragedy is in the wilderness where we die. Many dead, many bodies in the valley of dry bones. Where can these dry bones live? When God speaks, he speaks to create. Each time he speaks, he creates. He causes to create. When that creation takes place, there's a consequence. So he spoke. He brought you out, taking you in. Are you with me? He brought you out, taking you in. There's a consequence. If you don't go in, there's a consequence of dying. Dying to what? Sin? Conception? But you must come out and go in. Hallelujah. And if we look back at this greater man of the old, of our word, we look back the greater man who live in a lesser day compared to us. Lesser men living in a greater day with cell phones, DVDs, whatever we are. We look at the lives, we can see what the Holy Ghost took a magnifying glass and put it on them. Take, for example, Paul. In Acts, in the book of Acts chapter 13, the Holy Ghost himself spoke as he was fasting and praying and ministering unto the Lord. The Holy Ghost himself, he said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, to the work that I've called them to do." Holy Ghost, divine partnership. Call them out. Guys, go and get this job done. They say, yes, yes, we'll go. And as they went out, two chapters later, we see Paul and Barnabas having a fight over John Mark. And the divine partnership ordained in heaven was broken. By man's wisdom, was broken. And the purpose of God is very important to us. Anything else is not important. See? Good is the opposite. Best of purpose is the enemy of it. So we want to do good. How good is the knowledge of good? It's already been rejected by God. But the best, the perfect will, is accepted by God. It's truth. So good is not good enough. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Let your mind be renewed so you can tell what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. God has called us to His perfect will. His perfect will is to leave, to go where He's sending us. Are you with me tonight? So what's being worked in us is not for ourselves. So we see Paul stumbling. He wrote most of the New Testament, but each time we take the magnifying glass and look at the lives of God's greatest, we see flaws, human flaws. We look at Jesus, we don't see any. We don't look at anyone. We're not looking down at Paul. No, we're looking at that day so we don't make the same mistakes. Are you with me? Such power. We don't make the same mistakes. We don't. So, the purpose of God is His perfect will. Anything else is our own. It's His permissive will. He will allow it to happen. Things that God can destroy with His power, He will allow to happen in His wisdom so that we can learn something. Are you with me tonight? So you say, wow, what is all this about? It's about Him. We take a look at John the Baptist. He says, I must decrease so that He decrease. I must decrease and He should increase. He must increase and I decrease and I decrease. I must decrease. This is the one. This is the one. This is the one that I've been preaching about. He's here now. Baptism of John, of Jesus. Right before the Holy Ghost falls upon him, he sees, he declares the word before everybody else. And did he by any chance decrease? He continued to baptize. They came to him to say, John, that wish you were the one that baptized. He's over there. He's baptizing more people than you. John said, yes, I know. He's from heaven. He's supposed to do that thing. And he can't do that unless he received that from God. But you know something? He's the bridegroom. And I'm standing next to him. I'm just happy to hear his words. Did he decrease until he got in trouble? In prison. Like Paul got in prison. Over the same John Mark, he writes a letter to Timothy. Bring John with me. He's good for the gospel right now. And there was John the Baptist in prison. He sent his disciple. He said, are you the Christ, or should we expect another? Jesus tells him, listen, go tell John again. So go tell John again. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak, the lepers are cleansed, the dead's being raised. Go tell John again. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Was John offended in the ministry of Jesus? He should have submitted. He should have been Jesus number one. Number one. Number one disciple. He should have been walking behind Jesus. Listen, people. This is the man I've been telling you about. Do you see the faithfulness of our God? All his ministers should have been submitted. Was he? Did he walk in the purpose of God? That was the divine purpose of God. Because when those two mothers embraced, the baby kicked in the belly. Are you with me? Witness of the presence. Divine presence. What is your purpose? Are you walking in the purpose of God? This is a microscope thing. Micro magnifying glass thing. Examine your own life because God has called you out of into. What he's working on the inside of you is to take you into. There will be no tragedy. Are you with me? There cannot be any tragedy. You gotta be in there. That's why he wants to impart. He wants to equip. Wants to send you. Wants to release you. Wants to just equip you. And was John offended at the ministry of Jesus? That he never did. Jesus said, of all women, born of women, there is none greater than John. But John never worked even a miracle. He never did transfer himself to our dispensation. And every one of those who submitted themselves to Jesus came back. My Lord, every devil is subject to us in your name, Jesus. We never saw that with John. You see? Because the revelation you walk in is going to control your day. It's like a gear in a car. The gear of that car controls the moment of the car. If you want to go up to 90 miles an hour and you start moving first gear, you can't hit 90. You have to shift. And to shift, you have to go through neutral. And many of us are afraid of shifting, and that's what God does the best. Shift us all the time. You've been shifted. I can see it. You've been shifted. And every time you shift, you marry the revelation of that gear you're in with what you're doing. Are you with me?
Yes.
And if you cannot, if you fail to marry your revelation with the situation you embrace with, it's a crisis. Like John the Baptist, he refused to marry the revelation of Christ being the Messiah coming into the world and being submitted his ministry to that of Jesus to walk in the power and just cause a greater revival until he got a crisis at his hand. And Jesus sent his disciples back to him and said, go tell John again. This is what's happening. And blessed is that man that is not offended in my ministry. That's a testimony being worked in. Just like Jacob. Jacob was a liar, a twister, a con man. God met him, worked a testimony in him. His name was changed. Enoch. It was a little different. Because Jacob put Jacob first, God second. And God had to work a testimony in him. To work something in him that would change his position. Enoch didn't have to do that. He just worked with God. God first, he's next. And God just took him for himself. Is God going to just take you for himself? Or does he have to shift it? Are you working in divine purpose? Or are you walking in permission? Why the impartation? Why the anointing? Why the open heaven over your life? Why the outpouring of the Spirit? If you won't leave to go. He's faithful. He will not deny himself. He will continue to pour. But will you die in the wilderness? This revival that you're pressing in for is not to fill churches or seats. Is to fill the empty hearts of God's people with his presence, with his power, with his life. He can give you a stadium anytime he wants. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's to walk in his purpose. That's why he's working this in you. It's to get you over every trial, every test. Every time you pass a test, is an anointing. There's a reward. Every time. Every time. You pass a test. See? That's Peter too. He met Jesus. First time Jesus met him. Jesus said, throw your nets over there. He says, Lord, we've been towed tall all night. However, at that word, I will throw the net. Jesus was speaking of nets. He was speaking of net. And when Jesus left, he grabbed the boys. He said, "We're going fishing now." Came back and said, "Throw your net again." When he realized, he says, "Now, you left this walk." He went back. Peter didn't leave to go. He went back. Those that were in the wilderness, they were always looking back at Egypt and the flesh pots. Peter went back. He wants to pour something. He wants to do something. And I believe he's already started doing it because of what he's talking. He wants to do something. Yeah, I think he's already doing it. Yes. Like, he's already doing it. I know he's already doing it. Because you can't reach this threshold like this. You can't be like Peter, who, after all, he had to come back to Peter in the form of a man and said, "Listen, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more? Do you love me more than these?" The truth. And when you're walking in the purpose of God, it's divine truth. Anything else is permission. And I tell you something. The divine purpose is truth. And the devil cannot abide in truth. Therefore, he has no access to you when you're walking in the purpose of God. Anything else, the permission, he has access to you. That's how come he could grab Paul and put him in jail. That's how come he could grab John the Baptist and put him in jail. Because anything other than the purpose or the divine will of God, the truth, the devil cannot exist in the truth. Therefore, he has access to that realm. If you walk in anything else, he has access to that realm. All he does is try and try and try, like he tempted Jesus and tried to kill Jesus and try and try. But Jesus was walking in the divine will of God. He could not until the season was there for him to lay his life down. He wants purpose for every one of our lives. The divine will. The divine purpose. Every single one of us can look at that diamond ring and say, "Wow, look at the glow of it." And that ring is paid for. It's like we owe somebody. It's like we owe somebody. And we pawn the ring. We pawned it to the pawn shop. But when it's time to pick it up, we couldn't pay for it. We couldn't pay for it. And here comes Jesus. He says, "Okay, what's the price? Here it is. Give it to me." And that ring, even though it was our ring, no longer belongs to us because it was paid for by somebody else. And that's the true owner now, Jesus. So as we look at it, it doesn't belong to us. We're bought. We're paid for. We're owned by somebody else. Now, he's delivering his goods to us. He's delivering his goods to us. Why? That we can go. But we must leave to go. That's why the impartation. That's why the revelation. Yes, yes, yes. You've entered a season of secrets of revelation. That's his divine plan. You have entered a season of secrets and revelation. He will come and impart divine secrets that the world wouldn't understand. Revelation, that divine, because revelation precedes revival. Revelation comes before revival. You're receiving. You're going to walk in it. You will deliver it. It will come out of your spirit. If you just go, because each step you take is a brand new revelation. Each step you take into Him is a brand new revelation. Each step you take into Him is a brand new revelation. And there's power with that revelation. A testimony working in on inside of you. Powerful. Purpose. That's what He's hungry for. His purpose. That's what He's hungry for. That's why you feel that hunger. That's why you feel that wooing. That drawing nearer. That's what's happening to you. Hallelujah. I encourage you to leave, to go. It's not a geographical thing. Okay. I'll give you an example. Those guys that sign in for the army, say, "I'm going to Iraq or Iraq, wherever." Before they left, they were already gone. They were just waiting for an assignment or something. They were already gone. Okay. You want to move out of an apartment into a house. From the moment, you're already gone. You're just finding where it is, but you're already gone. Okay. You want to leave a job into a career. You're already gone out of the job. You're already gone. You're already gone. Even though you're still at the job. You're still at the job, but you're already gone. You must leave to go. You must already be gone. You must already be gone.
Yes.
Only the devil wants you to be the same. Only the devil wants you to develop some form of church. Are you with me?
Yes.
Only him wants to develop some form. You must already be gone. You must go. That's him. He's doing something new every morning, every day. You must already be gone. Because every step you take into him, it's a new revelation. It's his purpose. Because it tells us in his word, I have not seen, nor ear heard, what he's got in store for you. How he can change you from last year to this year, and from this year to next year, even from this month to next month. If you would just go. Hallelujah. Why the impartation? It's to leave to go. If you don't leave, you can't go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's what he's. That's what's on his mind today. I don't have anything else to say except worship God and pray for you. Amen. If he says something, I'll say it. Hallelujah.